Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. So we're at the bottom of 13B. We're in the middle of a complex discussion about documents, finding documents, specifically IOUs. And the question is, who to give them to? Do you give them to the borrower? Do you give them to the lender? Or do you just hold on to it? And the discussion led to how toxic, I hate using that. Well, I got it. What's the value of this document? Who can this mess up? Meaning that if this document is in the wrong hands, if the lender gets it, what kind of havoc can he create? Who can he go to collect, and who's going to be repoed? That's really the question here. What's the value of this document, and how much harm can be done if you give it back to the lender? And is the case that the borrower admitted that the loan was true? Obviously, if the borrower says this whole thing was made up, I never borrowed that money, you know, then. But what if the borrower says, yeah, I borrowed the money? So what could this document, what harm could be done? And so that's what we're getting into in the Gemara. So we're bringing a brisa that shows that some of the earlier opinions seems to be not like those earlier opinions. That's where we're going to start, three lines from the bottom on 13b. Ubrisa katani. In the brisa it says, shtar she'ein bo achrayis nechasim. Now, when somebody has a loan, and if the loan is what's called lienable, meaning that it had a date, and that it was a very good loan, so that any business that the borrower did afterwards, the lender can go after the person who bought those lands from the borrower. Because in theory, when the borrower borrowed, everything that he had was mishubud, was made a slave, was made obligated to pay off that. That's why he got loaned the money, because he had all this property. So not only will the lender go after the borrower, he's going to go after everybody who, if people bought land from the borrower, he's going to go after them. And so the question really is, when you return loan documents, are you in theory going to mess up the borrower? And what happens if you didn't really mention that in the document? So does that make a difference or not? And that's one of the subjects we're going to deal with. Does a document, does it have to mention it in order to be able to go after the people that buy the land of the borrower? They should have known that the lands of the borrower were mishubad. So what creates this lien? That's going to be part of our subject that we're multiple opinions on, but that is one of the big issues here, is when things are... Now, again, if it had stated it clearly in the document that the borrower, all of his properties are mishubad to pay the lender, and so anybody did business with a borrower would have known that, would have known this document existed. But what if it didn't...
How would they have known that, by the way?
So I don't know exactly.
Words, if it's registered, so to speak, on the title of the property...
So, but where did they go to? Was everything like, was there, you know, could you go to Bais Din and find this out? Would there have been local?
Is there some sort of registry? Because in the Shtar Halva'a,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's in the hands of the Malva.
Right, right. How would he know? How would somebody buy something? How would you know that this guy borrowed money? You know, how would it be? So I'm just wondering if the local Bais Din, you know, would have, that the community was small enough that if you had witnesses, then there was a local Bais Din, a person could find out, you know, it was small enough that, you know, in a small community, there's no secrets. Everybody knows what's going on without it with everybody else. Like,
it's a nice idea. We just haven't seen that.
No, we haven't. We haven't. Correct. How did they do a title search? Absolutely. I don't know. We could only guess. So that's the... we say over there, Katani, let's start again. Ubraisa Katani, Shtar She'ein Bo Achrayis Nechasim. If you have a document that doesn't say that it's lienable, the Mishabdi Hu De Lo Gavi, so then you can't go after a property that was bought and sold. But definitely the property of the borrower of Bnei Chorin, that's free and clear, Magvi, you could collect Gavi. Viktani, Bein Lerameir, Bein Lerabanan. But we learned that according to both opinions, Chashinu L'Knuya, we're afraid that there's some kind of deal going on here between the lender and the borrower. I was using the word they were in cahoots. There was something happening here. We're always concerned that if you give the document back, usually we're only worried about the lender. I'm sorry, the borrower, that the borrower will be put at a disadvantage. But over here, where the borrower potentially did business with others, we're afraid that they'll be put at disadvantage. There'll be some kind of kanunya going on over here. But Digtani, Alpha Pisha Shneya Modim, because we see over here that even though the borrower and the lender both say, yeah, the lender said, I loaned him the money. The borrower says, I borrowed the money. You don't give it back to either one. Alma Kashin Lekanunya. We see that we're worried about that. So two parts over here. One is that even when they both admit that the loan took place, you don't give it back. And two, we seem that we are worried that maybe there's something that is going to affect the people that have liens on the property, and that maybe that there's some kind of plot here.
Or who owned the property
to take advantage. Vahani, so that's what the Gemara says, that this brisa is, these were issues that were discussed yesterday, whether you do give it back or whether it makes a difference if the case was that they admitted it was good or not, and whether we're worried about such a thing. It's always a question how far we have to worry about. You find the document, do you have to worry? So the Gemara has a question, though. Vahani tartihu. Are these two different things or is it one thing? Chadu, dechad tamu. It's really one reason. D'mishum d'kama Reb Elazar machlovish ein chayev moda. Since Reb Eliezer said that the debate was where the borrower is the one who's chayev. He's the one who has to pay. He didn't admit there's a loan. So, and here we're saying that they argue even when the borrower admits, because we're afraid the borrower is in cahoots with the lender to mess up the people that did business with the borrowers. So the Moras dehumatar tzachi. That's because he uses it. It's one reason. That's why he lists it. Chufte de Shmuel batarti, and it's not like Shmuel in two ways. Chada karebe lazer. One, as we said, like Rela Damuki Masim Shein Chayv Moda. He learned the case that the borrower didn't admit. And again, as the Brisa quoted, the Brisa learns even if the borrower admits that it's a good document. Chada de Omer Shmuel, and the other is that what Shmuel taught, he said, Matzishtar hakna b'shuk yaksu labalim, that he said, if you do find an IOU, you can return it, v'lo chashin l'peroin. And we're not afraid that maybe it was paid up. And Chufta, and the proof is, Diktani hakha, alfa pishishnei emodim, even if they do, here we say you don't give it back to either, alma chashin l'peroin, that we are afraid of payback, and kol shekein hakha, the lo moda. And certainly where the borrower doesn't admit, you'd be afraid it was paid back. So we're seeing the brisa, again, there have been multiple ways to learn. The issue is, are we talking about a document where the borrower admitted it was loaned? And then also, are we worried that this document may have been paid and for some reason they didn't tear it up? So I was thinking that sometimes, even if it's a partial payment, when it's not fully paid, that would explain why it wasn't torn up. But you can't allow it to be fully collected because maybe he did receive some payment. So, Omar Shmuel, my time in Rabban. So, again, the Bryce approves not like those two opinions, not like Reb Eliezer and not like Shmuel. Omar Shmuel, my time in Rabbanin. What's the reason of the Rabbanin? Savi achrayas tosofru. The Rabbanin, we said that even if it didn't mention that it was lienable, we're saying you shouldn't give it back because someone else is going to get in trouble. How can they get in trouble if it's not lienable? Meaning, if the document doesn't say that that the property of the borrower is meshubed to him, and so how are you going to go after the people that did business with the borrower? How are we afraid they'll get messed up? There's no date on the document. So the answer is, if the scribe didn't write it, so the Rabbanan hold, that was a mistake. But it meaning the scribe goofed, but even though he goofed, it exists. And that's called achrayas tosoferhu, meaning that, so even though he didn't write that the borrower takes responsibility, that's just the scribe goofed. But it takes effect even though he goofed. So really, the lender will go after these borrowers, the people that did business with the borrowers. And so that explains why we don't want them to give it back, even if there is no achrayus here. The fact that there is none, that's just because he left it out.
Are there eidim?
Yeah. Are there eidim about the achrayus? That I don't know.
This is a big wild card.
Yeah. The achrayus to sofer here.
People make mistakes, including sofrim.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not stipulated in the shtar...
So this opinion says that it always there is responsibility even though it's not mentioned.
That's a klal?
This opinion, yeah, Achrayas Tosofer. Let's see the Rashi, Achrayas Tosofer. It's in the middle of the page. Achrayas Tosofer. Kishe'enu kosa b'shtar. They didn't write it in the document, so why are we afraid if you give this document back? They're going to go after somebody. The answer is sofer hu shita. Blame it on the scribe. I'm not gonna. The lender was not gonna give the borrower money unless the borrower took responsibility. Delo shadi in his shoes. Nobody throws away their money. Why would I give the borrower unless I knew he had the property to pay me back? It's not written. The scribe goofed. So that would explain. So basically, this explains why you can't give this document back, even if it didn't mention, even if the borrower admits I borrowed the money, but it's going to affect the people that did business with the borrower. I was saying it didn't say there that people that did business with the borrower. The answer is the scribe goofed.
I understand the scribe goofed, but nevertheless, you can't go to the lokim and take their money away because I'm mutzim et haberu olav araya, and there's no date.
This opinion says that you could, because it's almost like we can assume the lender wouldn't have thrown his money away for no reason. So what do they do about the date? That I'm not sure. How do they know when, at what point?
What property had achrayus and what property didn't have achrayus? Maybe he sold it before he took out the loan.
Assuming, I guess if they were able to figure out, like maybe there's witnesses on the timing of the loan or they're able to figure out exactly what happened when. Our question is more that it didn't say when he took the loan that the property was lien, that the lender had the right to take the properties of the borrowers away. And this opinion says nobody's going to lend money if he can't do that. It's obvious that the lender assumed that he would take away the borrower's property. They didn't write it. Yeah, the scribe was...
So Nebuchadnezzar, he made a mistake, but still, Hamotzi Mechaveru Olav Araya, the Lokeach is scot-free.
So he doesn't have to bring a proof that it's lienable. So he will have to prove the dates. He'll have to prove when the loan took place and when the sale took place. But our question is, it never wrote in the document that he was going to be able to go after the Lekukos. But even though it didn't write it, so the scribe goofed. It's an interesting cut. It's a little shocking, right? But that would explain the reason why you can't give it back, even though they left out the achrayus. Okay. Omale Rava Bar Issi L'Rav Idi Baravin. He has a question. Mi Omer Shmuel Hachi, did Shmuel say this for Omer Shmuel? Shvach Shapir V'Shibud Sorek Limuch. Good morning. So if the... there are certain things that you have to check in a document. Let's see the Rashi. Shvach, Shapir, Vishibud, Tzoraklim. There are three things. We're saying here that the scribe might have left them out. Hasofer, Tzoraklim, B'mokher, Sadil, Chavero. The scribe is supposed to ask when you sell a field to your friend, Lisho Hayemenu, Im Kabo, Liktav, Shtar, HaMechira. The scribe, when he writes the document, is supposed to ask the borrower, well, actually, this case, it's being sold. When you sell a friend to your... He asked the seller, Imi kabo av likta b'shtar mechir shu shibilo nechasev le mechir zu. Is he willing to back up the sale if the borrower has any problem. That if there's a he owed somebody money and this person will go and take it from the borrower, she will pay exeha karen vashvach. Will the borrower be able? Will the person who bought the field, who's now getting it repoed from him, be able to go back to the seller and get back the his investment in the field? So this is a little bit of a new subject. We've opened up that when you buy a field from somebody, if that person owed money, it may be that it's not his field to sell, and you're going to get that field taken away from you. So now the problem is, when you go into a field, you invest in that field. You plant and you plow and you build. So if you get that field taken away, what happens to all that investment? Even if you get your money back, what happens to the shvach? What happens to... So now that we've said this opinion that if you do business with somebody that owed money, you potentially will, the field that you bought from him could get repoed and you could lose your investment. So is there recourse to get that investment back? That's going to be the question here. So did Shmuel say this, that you can go after the buyers of these fields, of the person who owed money, and take it away? Didn't Shmuel say that when they write these documents, they before you write it, you have to check? So do we say, Lema manda omar hai, lo omar hai? It sounds like if you can't write the document unless the borrower agrees to accept liability, so then you did write the liability in the document. So it sounds almost like two different opinions in Shmuel, whether or not there is this liability of doing, whether it's lienable or not. So more say lo kasha, it depends on the document. Kan bishtar hava, when there's somebody that makes a loan, de lo yaiv in shizuzi bigdi, nobody throws away their money. Nobody's going to loan money unless he can collect from the property of the borrower. You don't just loan somebody money that has no way to pay you back. If he's got fields, then you'll loan him. Kamba mechaku memka. But if to buy and sell a field, you'll buy a field even though you don't know if it's free and clear. Why? Da avit inish dezavin arliyom. Sometimes people buy a field short term. Even if you're only going to have it a little while, some people still do that. Where do you see such a thing?
Mashma, that there isn't really an issue of investment?
Correct. In other words, you'll buy the field, even though you may invest short term and it might get taken away. You can always get your money back from the one who you purchased it from. People do that, even though they'll buy fields, even though they don't know if it's a clear title. That's what we're saying. To loan money, you won't loan money unless it's backed up by property. But to buy and sell, you'll buy it, and then meanwhile, you'll get to use it. Somebody may come along and challenge your right to be there. All right, you'll deal with it then. So where do you see that sometimes happens? Ki ahida avua bar ihi. Avua, the son of Ihi's of an Ilsa me'akse. He bought something from his sister. What do they say? Don't buy from the family, right? He bought something from his sister. Asa bal choiv, and guess what happened? He buys it from the sister, and then the sister's creditors come and took it away from him. So asa kamei de Mar Shmuel. He went in front of Mar Shmuel to sue his sister. He said, well, did she take achrayas? Did she promise you that if you have any trouble, you can go back to her? He said, no, I didn't get that from my sister. I thought I could trust her. So he said, then have a nice day. Go in peace. Have a good day. You didn't get any guarantees. So people buy, so they'll buy without guarantees, and if it gets taken away, they'll get their money back. But apparently that's in buying and selling, that's a different world than loaning. Loaning, you loan money. Mm-hmm.
Earlier, when we said those three words, Bishtar, Shvach, Shapir, Rishibud, are those like three separate words?
Three separate words, yes. Mm-hmm.
How would they get translated? Shvach.
Shvach is if you invest in the property.
Any improvements?
Shapir are improvements, and shibud is that you you're agreeing to use this that the land is he's obligated to give it up to pay any debts that are there and that's lienable.
Okay.
Those are the All three right. things. Let's just see some Rashi's here. Last thin line, Rashi. Oven ish is oven arliyo. People will sometimes buy something for a day. L'safek, even if it's only a day. Shemelot fenim, as long as I get it, I get it. V'im yechivenu, and if it'll get taken away, maybe I'll have it for a long time. Oba kaperus harba. Meanwhile, I'll get it for a long... People will buy it even though there is an ultimate threat that eventually they could be kicked out. Zil l'shalma, go in peace. Inkad odin shemoklos alakol. Forget it. Have a nice day. You didn't ask for any guarantees from your sister. What do you expect? You know, you're a mochel on everything. Okay. So Omer Le, so he said to him back to the Gemara, V'amaru d'omach rayas to sofer, didn't you say that if I didn't ask for it, the scribe goofed? What are you saying, that it's my fault because I didn't ask for any assurances from my sister that she didn't have any lenders that were going to repo it? Didn't you say that every person that has protection, and if it's not there, it just means the scribe goofed? Omer le hanimi bishtar halva. That's if you do a loan. If you do a loan, then you have protection. Then the land is leanable. Bishtar mekukum memkar lo. But if it's just a buy and sell, no, daven ish dezaven early yom. People buy and sell for whatever they get it for, they get it for. It's a different, buying and selling is different than loaning. Omer Rabbi. A new thing, sort of, a new statement. But Reuven shemocher sadu l'Shimon b'achrayis. Reuven sells his field to Shimon, and he tells him, if you have any trouble, come to me. Uba b'alchoiv de Reuven, and sure enough, one of the lenders of Reuven came, the Ketarif Lamina. He takes it away from Shimon. So, dinahu d'ozo Reuven. Now, Reuven put his reputation on the line. He sold to Shimon. And he said, I'm selling to you, and don't worry. If you have any trouble, come to me. And what happens? Reuven's lender came, and sure enough, gives Shimon trouble. So now Reuven wants to go and have a fight with that lender. It's my reputation, and you had no business going to Shimon, and why he felt that you shouldn't collect from him. So dinu does a ruin, mishtoi dinu bahadeh. Reuven can go and fight with that person who repoed the land from Shimon. V'lomatzi amarle, and that person can't say, who are you, Reuven? You're out of the picture now. V'lav bal yadorimat, to amarle mifka mina, because Reuven can say, yeah, once you take it away from Shimon, he's going to turn around alai didi hadar. He's going to come back to me. So that gives Reuven standing. So even though he sold the property, if its land is going to be repoed, Reuven is able to bring his arguments against that lender because the person is going to come back to Reuven. Ikariyami, some people say, even if he didn't risk Domerlei. Now, it's one thing if Reuven took Achrayas. Reuven promised Shimon, if you have any trouble, I'll pay you back. So Reuven can go to this lender and say, this is going to cost me bucks. That's why I can fight with you. But what about if Reuven took no responsibility? So how can Reuven go to the lender and say, leave Shimon alone? What's it your business, Reuven? You're out of the picture. The answer is, he's even allowed to say, I don't want Shimon to have any complaints to me. Not that Shimon can come and sue me, but Shimon is going to say, Reuven, why'd you do that to me? Why'd you sell me land knowing it would get repoed? So even though it's just a complaint, it's not illegal, that alone gives them standing. First, people don't want to have complaints against them. Okay. Vom Rabbi, another statement of Abai. Reuven shemocher sadu l'Shimon shelo b'achrayis.
It's like a shame token.
Yes, exactly. You can fight even for your reputation, even though, what do you mean? There's no, you're not going to lose money. But even if people are going to say, I sold people, don't buy, I had only trouble when I bought from Reuven.
Right. So the effect of that is that the next time Reuven, sells property, he's not going to have any buyers because nobody's going to trust him.
Correct, right. Correct. So even that gives him standing. That's what we're saying, right? Even a potential damage to his reputation gives him standing. That's what we're saying. Another thing, Omer Abaye. Reuven Shemocha Sadu L'Shimon Shelo Bachrayis. All right, Reuven sells, and he sells as is. No guarantees. V'yotze Lava Sikin. And guess what happens? People start claiming that the land is theirs. And the buyer didn't fully pay for it yet. So can the buyer back out? What's the deal? In other words, Reuven finds a sucker. He finds someone who's going to give him money to buy this piece of land. And as soon as the buyer shows interest, all of a sudden people are expressing that, wait a second, Rashi, Asik, and Orin, complainers. You should know that's our land. So, Ad Shelo Hiksikbo, if he didn't move in yet, as we turn the page, you could still change your mind. Rashi, B'Shelo Nitin Mos, if he didn't pay yet, too. It's interesting how Rashi knew that. I think either if you move in or you pay, it's already too late to ask for a refund. Those are points of no return. If you picked it up already or you paid. But if you didn't, you could still back out. Misha Hiksikbo, once the buyer took possession, then he's going to have to pay, and then he's stuck. Now, what do you mean? He's having trouble keeping the property. The Omerle, the lender, the seller could say to him, Chaisa de Kitri Savris Kabbalas. You knew this was a knot. You knew that this was, why do you think I was selling it so cheap? You got involved. You accepted it as is. So, don't have any complaints against me. So once he moves in, then it's too late to have buyer's regret. It's an interesting expression. Chaisa sak molik sharm, a bag full of knots. Sometimes things are knotted and you buy the rope and you know that it's going to take you time to unravel all those knots. But you knew there were knots there. So the seller can say to the buyer, you knew this wasn't, you were going to have a fun time fighting with all the other people.
The price would reflect that, I would assume.
Correct. Right? That's right. Yeah, that's right.
It's a distressed property or something like that.
Right. That's correct. That's right. So the seller's able to say that to the buyer. You knew you were getting this is what you were getting into. So we said once the buyer moves in. So what exactly is called moving in? Miki daisha mitri. As soon as he sets up the borders. Let's see Rashi. Daisha mitri misakin gvula sada umag. I think it means like he puts up defenses or he...
That's exactly what you do. I think he's walking the boundaries of the property.
Of the property, yeah.
He's digesting what he owns.
What did I get? What's included? Right.
So what? As well, right? Because you don't know, they're not defined so very well.
Uh-huh. Well, it's not just that he's looking at it. It looks like he's actually staking it out. Misakin,
right. Misakin means he's fixing it up, right?
Yeah.
Right. Like the fence is in disrepair, and he's fixing the fence.
He's defining what he got, what's his. And so at that point, he can't say that I can back out because he took over.
There must be something there that allows him to know where his borders are then.
Yeah, there must be some way to know where the... It's probably strengthening existing fences that may have broken down or might be...
I have a back property line, and I don't know where it is.
Exactly.
I have no idea. There's no
markings, no fence posts,
nothing.
Where
just,
it goes,
though. It just goes
beyond. Vika, the army, and some people say, I feel bechorais nami. What if the lender took responsibility? So the lender can say, show me where the basin kicked you out, and then I'll pay you back. But until then, I'm not paying you back. In other words, even if the lender took responsibility, the borrower can't back out. The borrower bought as is. I'm sorry, the borrower bought as is, but he said, if I have any trouble, I can go back to the lender. So the lender, he can't go back to the lender until the borrower got a notice. That the tir fake means the court wrote that it's time for you to leave. If you can't show that, then, maybe... the lender can say, or the seller can say, so go to court and fight it out. Who said it's going to, who said that if once the court says, they're officially kicking you out, that's already, then I'll pay you back. Let's see the Rashi. It's about a third of the way. Omer le'ach v'terfek, show me your document that Beis Din said, we're going to kick you out, and then I'll pay you back. Kishi amod v'yizku b'din. All right, so he's threatening to sue you. So what? But when he's actually sued you and won the case, v'yiktev lecha dayan, and the judge wrote, shtar taruf, Olai, he said he can take the property away, shebedin tarfa mimcha, and that the other guy won, bishvili bov, then I'll pay you. The kol kamadil amda bedin, and until he's actually sued you, I'm not afraid of this guy. So he's threatening to sue you. So what? You bought it, you knew there were trouble. So I said, if you have any trouble, I'll pay you back. But that only means, you know, who said the other guy's going to win the case? So Itmar, we learn. Somebody, a new issue. People have problems with property. Buying property is a challenge. Buying property with, in places where registrations aren't so clear, it's really a big deal. So somebody sold you a field, and guess what? It wasn't his. So, and you go to him for a refund. So Rav says, Yesh lo mos v'yesh lo shvach. You can get your money back, and you can get your investment, whatever you invested in the land. Shmuel says, Mos Yeshlo, you can get your money back, but Shvach ain't lo. Good luck on the money you invested in the land. You're not going to get that. And so that's really the discussion the Gemara is going to explain now. You bought land. Let's see, Rashi, what exactly is Shvach? Yeshlo Shvach. Im ze, if this one, Heshpia Kesakarka. He increased the value of the land he bought bezevel, he fertilized it. Obegeter, or he put a fence up. Kodim shehotzi nigzo miyado, and then someone else took it away. He invested all this money to fertilize it, and he put up a fence, and now it gets all taken away. Govel okeach min hamocher shvach. He can go to the guy that sold him this land that he didn't keep for that improvement. V'im tomar nigzo yitein shvach. So maybe the guy who it was stolen from should pay you. So again, when you buy land, $100,000, right? And he sells it to you, and you put in 10. So along comes someone and says, the guy that sold it to you stole it from me. That was stolen property. Get off the property. It's mine. And you get off the property. So who do you get your $10,000 back from? For the fences, for the improvements, the shvach. So we said, you go back to the one that sold you the field. But why can't you go back to the guy who had it stolen? He's getting a field that's fertilized now. Shouldn't he pay you, Rashi? Sharishivu kar mishabakas, ki gon shigoz mishabak, sifu lo gazlin. So we say no, that apparently the Nigzel doesn't have to pay you for it. Let's go back to the Gemara as we open up this discussion. How do you get your investment back? You bought a field, you invested in it, your improvements. Let's use that word, your improvements. The Shvach, how do you get your improvements back? Rav said, Yeshlo most, you're entitled to go to the seller and get your money back. V'yeshlo Shvach. And you can get your improvements. Shmuel said, you can get your money back, but you can't get your improvements. Boy, mean Rav Huna, Pirishlo as the Shvach. What about if you had that in your document, that when you borrowed it, you made a condition that if I have any trouble, I want my money back and I want my improvements back. So will that help, according to Shmuel? So Mao time it is Shmuel Mushumdo Pirish. Shmuel said, this wasn't, it wasn't in the papers that the lender promised that he would pay you back your improvements. Shvach, hacha, at pirish. What if you put it, in the writing, maybe that'll help. Odelma, time of Shmuel. Maybe the reason of Shmuel is, kivin de les le karka, since you don't get to keep the land, you loaned him money, and now you get your money back. And when you get your money back, you're asking for extra money to pay for your improvements. Mexicaribis. It looks like you're being paid for giving him the money. And it looks like you're taking interest. So you paid $100,000 and you're asking him to give you $110,000 back. That looks like interest. So what's the reason that you can't get the improvements? Is it because you didn't write it in the document? Or according to Shmuel, again, Rav says you can get it back. But is the reason because like Shmuel that it wasn't written? Or is it because it looks like interest? Amarlay, in, yes, no, maybe so. Rifa biyada, favorite expression. You didn't get a straight answer. Was it the reason? Yeah. Is it not the reason? No. I'm not sure. Itmar, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. Let's look at this issue. Mos yeshlo, you get your money back. Shvach ainlo, but improvements you don't get. Afof, even if you put it in writing. My time, even the karko ainlo, since you don't keep the land. Schar mos, omid venoto. It looks like you gave the guy money, and now you're getting your money back, plus you're being paid for giving the money, because you're getting all your improvements back. Esvei Rav Elazar ben Nachman, he has a question on this. Ein motzin lachias peres. If somebody buys land from somebody, and they, meanwhile, the fruits were eaten, or they improved the land, Ulamazon Isha, or they paid for the wife's expensive, or Benos, or the daughter's, Minuchasim Mishubadim, from property that was leaned, Mivnei Tikkun Olam. Somebody buys land from you, and they find out that you owed money. So you'll have to pay off those creditors. But what about the other creditors? Can other creditors, like the guy's wife, the guy's daughters, can they also collect from you? In other words, this person had a family, had responsibilities. You bought the land from him, and now his ex-wife and his kids are trying to sue you because they said that they had the lien on the property, and you had no way of knowing that this guy had promised this wife and these kids these kind of money. So we say tikkun olam. Always love to tell the reform what real tikkun olam is. That it's not. Tikkun olam means certain fixes that are in because it's not fair to buyers to have unlimited kinds of payouts that they wouldn't have known about. Mishabdihu de lamafkinin. You can't take from encumbered lands things that were bought. Mnechor mafkinin, but regular property you could. Viktani miu l'shva karka. So you see that you could collect what you put, the value you put in. My labu kech megaslin. Even if you bought it from somebody who had no right to sell it to you. So the Gemara said, no, maybe we're talking about Baal Chov. We're talking about a creditor. So is there a difference when you made an improvement and then the land got taken away, if it got taken away because of a loan or if it got taken away because it was stolen? We're trying to differentiate. So the Gemara said, I Baal Chov, if we're talking about a lender, Emeresha, Ein Motzin Lachias Peros. We said he's not allowed to collect for the fruits. Ibe Baal Chov, Baal Chov mi Yisle Peri. Does the lender entitled to the fruits? Amar Shmuel Baal Chov Goyves Shvach. He could get the improvements Shvach in Avol Peiros Lo, but he doesn't get the fruits. El Lepshita. Clearly, we're talking about a case where it's stolen. Venigzal. He stole it and he sold it to you. And if that's the first case, Mitereshim Venigzal Seifa. So that here also we're talking about that. The Gemara said, no, not necessary. Mi Yehadu Yisahag Yisah. So we'll stop here. It's getting we have another minute. But the question here is again, the buyer put improvements in the land, and then he found out that the land is going to be repoed and taken away from him. Can he go back to the one it sold it to him and collect those improvements? That is the question. So we thought we had a proof, and we said no. It's not talking about somebody who bought stolen land. It's talking about somebody that borrowed. I velotani halchi l'shvak karkos. It didn't say that because, for example, if he made improvements, ketzed harishigazo sari mechavero. Somebody stole land from somebody else. Variyotz mitalkas yado, and someone it's being taken away. Kshu goiva when he collects goiva sakerin mechas mishubadim. He's allowed to collect money from the lands of that person who sold it to you. V'shvach. And if he put improvements, that he can only collect from things that were free and clear. Hey, Kidami, what's the case? Ilay Miketani Gazlin. If it's that it was stolen, Miman Gova, who are you collecting it from? Elalav, Kigon, Chigozo, Sada, Mechavera, Mochalach, or somebody stole it and he sold it to somebody else. And the buyer improved it. Omelay, Lav Trutzi, Kimitaritz. Didn't you say that this case needed to be explained? So Terence Nami, and once it's not a complete case, You can also say it's referring to a lender, not to a goslin. The bottom line is we don't have a proof. Again, there's two scenarios where you have land taken away from you because the person you got it from owed money. One is by a lender. The other is if it was stolen. Either he had no right to sell you the property because he owed money, or he had no right to sell you the property because he stole it. Our question is, if you made improvements, it could be you could go to the lender, you could get the money back for those improvements. But if the land was stolen, our question is if you can go and get the money back for those improvements or not. And we're in Tashma territory. We're going to have to see if we can find a proof, if you have anyone to sue for those improvements. Good luck. Okay.
So far.
Yeah.